I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you all glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, I'm sure, yes, if we have really trusted in the Lord, believe in Him, we will be very, very happy to be in the house of the Lord. But, well, to be happy in the Lord, we must really express that we are really very, very happy in the Lord, and that we are very, very glad to meet up with Him every Lord's Day. So this morning, when I came in and started the Singspiration, I was rather disappointed to see that only there were a few people, a couple of people in this church. I think about three or four at the very most when we started our Singspiration. And then when the chairman came out to lead in the worship service, I think the church was not a third full. Now we say that we love the Lord, and we are very, very happy to be in the house of the Lord. We are very happy to meet with Him. Then why don't we express our happiness, our joy in wanting to meet with Him by coming to the house of the Lord early? We should. Now this morning, my topic is seeking Christ, and I speak from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 26. Seeking Christ, John 12, 20 to 26, if you turn to that page, 12, 20 to 26, I will be making a reference from this passage as we go along. Now this incident recorded in this passage took place actually in the final week of the Lord's ministry on this earth. Yes, very soon He will be going to the cross. And then you look at verse 20 and verse 21 of John chapter 12. I read for you these two verses. And there were certain Greeks. Now the Greeks here, they were, of course, Gentile Greeks, but then they had embraced the Jewish religion. In other words, they were Greek proselytes. Among them, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now this feast was the feast of the Passover. The same people, the Greeks, came therefore to Philip, who was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." We desire to see Jesus. Now why did they desire to see Jesus? Yes, I think they must have been very, very impressed by what they saw on that day. It was possibly on Palm Sunday that they wanted to see Jesus. They had seen the Lord Jesus Christ receiving this great reception as He entered into the city of Jerusalem on the back of an ass. Yes, that was His triumphant entry on Palm Sunday. This was the last Sunday before the crucifixion of the Lord. Now, we do not know their motive of wanting to see Jesus. They could be very, very curious. They could be very sincere in wanting to see Jesus, or they might have read in Holy Scripture that God was going to send the promised Messiah. And then a few days earlier, there were witnesses who had gone to the village of Bethany, and they had seen the Lord Jesus Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. And these people had brought news back to the city of Jerusalem concerning this miracle that was performed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were possibly impressed by what they saw on this Palm Sunday, and having heard about the Lord Jesus Christ performing this miracle, they wanted to see Jesus. Possible. Now that's what we want to talk about this morning, seeking and seeing Christ. Seeking and seeing Jesus. And then number two, I'm going to talk about seeking and finding Jesus. And number three, having sought and found Him, lose much, gain everything. And my fourth point is, having sought and found Him, follow Him. So 4 points this morning. Would you see Jesus? Do you have the desire to see Jesus? And I mean sincerely wanting to see Jesus. You have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yes, and but still, the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be very far away from you. And Jesus seems to be very unreal. Do you have that kind of feeling sometimes? Jesus seems so far away and seems so unreal. And you desire to have the blessing of seeing Jesus. Now, you have read from Scripture about people who saw the Lord Jesus Christ and they were blessed. For example, we have the case of Zacchaeus. Remember, the man who was of very short stature, he was a publican, a tax collector for the Roman government. And he wanted to see Jesus. So when Jesus came to his city, the city of Jericho, what he did was he climbed a sycamore tree to look at Jesus. And having seen Jesus and having been seen by Jesus, he was very, very blessed. Because that day, salvation came not only to him, but to his household. Then we have the case of the great apostle Paul, who saw Jesus. Remember, before his conversion, he was a great persecutor of the church. And then there was this day when he was going to Damascus, and on the road to Damascus, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, and he was completely transformed from being a great persecutor of the church. He became one of the greatest preachers of the gospel ever. What a great blessing came to him. Now you have seen these people in Holy Scriptures who have been blessed by the Lord because they saw the Lord. So you want to see him also. Of course, today we are not able to see him physically. But how may we be able to see him? How may I be able to see Jesus? Friends, we said this many times. Yes, the way to see Jesus is to see Jesus in his word. In his word. Yes. Don't just know the word of God, but know the God of the word. Don't just know the word of God. You can know the word of God and it just registers in the head mentally. But know the God of the word. Know him personally. Yes, see the Lord from page to page in Holy Scripture. See the Lord promised in the book of Genesis at the dawn of creation in the Garden of Eden. God promised that one day he would send the Messiah, and the Messiah would crush the head of Satan, and Satan would only be able to bruise his heel. And then see the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, in the books of Moses in the Old Testament, typified or represented by the animal sacrifices that were brought into the temple. Yes, and see those animal sacrifices brought into the temple as telling us that God one day will provide for himself his own sacrifice to save us from our sins. And see him as the Passover lamb whose blood was shed and was sprinkled on the doorframe so that the firstborn males in the homes of the Jews were spared when the angel of death walked through the camp of the Israelites. Yes, likewise see Christ as our Passover lamb, who shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. Yes, see him prophesied in the book of Psalms. When you read the Psalms, see the Lord in the Psalms. When you read the books of prophets, see the Lord in the prophets. And see the Lord when we read the Gospels, living his life on this earth. And then as we read the letters written by the apostles, let us also see the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, how can you see him? How can you see him if you spend so little time reading God's word? If you spend so little time meditating on him? And how can you see him if you are so unwilling to participate in the Bible studies that we have in this church? The more you spend time with him, the more you spend time reading his word, the more time you spend meditating on his word, the clearer you will see Jesus. It is because you don't spend enough time reading his word. You don't spend time meditating on his word that you don't see him. But if you were to spend time reading his word, studying his word, you see Jesus and you see him clearly. The more you study his word, the more you meditate on his word. And here we try to help you read God's word. We provide you with the RPG notes, the Read, Pray, and Grow notes. And as we said, we have Bible studies organized in this church. We have the Agape Gathering North, we have the Agape Gathering South. We have all these meetings. For what purpose, my dear friends? To help you know God's Word so that you will be able to see Jesus. Yes, my question to all of us here is, have you been participating in this Bible studies that we are having? Have you been reading the RPG notes that we provide for you? As they say, you can bring a horse to a river, but you can't force the horse to drink the water. And here we try to make it easy for you to drink the water. The question is, do you want to drink the water? That's the question. How can you see him, my dear friends, if you do not care, if you are not interested to study his word, or you spend very, very little time studying his word and meditating on his word? Maybe you are completely uninterested in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. You are disinterested or uninterested in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are an unbeliever. But one day, my dear friends, you will definitely see him. And you will see him, you know where? Not before the judgment seat of Christ, because the judgment seat of Christ is only for believers. But you will be seeing him before God's great white throne. You will see him there. Before the great white throne, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be judged as a sinner. And you will be found guilty as a sinner. And then you will be cast into the lake of fire, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Yes, and that's going to happen. You will see him. You may not want to see him today, but one day definitely you will see him. There is no escape for you. But for those of us who have already trusted in him and are longing to see the Lord Jesus, of course we will see him someday. What a glad day it will be when we see him. We'll see him face to face one day. And you know what? As we said so very often, we see him and we shall be like him. How wonderful it is. And the hope of seeing him someday surely is our comfort today. And because of this comfort, the hope of seeing him someday, all our trials and tribulations and sorrows that we have for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, my dear friends, are made bearable today for us, if we are going through such trials and going through such tribulations. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 say, "For which cause," Paul says, "we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And then Paul goes on to say, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." One day when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when we enter into glory, we look back. We say, oh, all those trials and tribulations and sorrows that we had for the sake of the gospel are so small, or were so small, so light, compared to this wonderful weight of glory that will be ours when we see him face to face. My dear friends, that's the hope that we have in him. And this comfort of seeing him someday really gives us the strength to face whatever trials we may have on this earth for the sake of the gospel. Now, you desire to see Jesus. Yes, I hope all of us do desire to see Jesus. But friends, do you see Jesus in believers? You see him in believers. We should, friends, we should see Jesus in believers. All of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to have Christ in us. We have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are supposed to have fellowship with him, and he fellowship with us. We are supposed to be his ambassadors. We are supposed to be his witnesses. In other words, when people look at us, should they or should they not see Jesus in us? They should. Yes. So when we look at one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we should be seeing Jesus in one another. Isn't it true? Right? We should be seeing Jesus in one another. So I ask you, yes, do you see Jesus in me? I ask myself, do I see Jesus in you? Now, it is very, very important that we see Jesus in one another. We should be showing forth Christ-likeness. We should be showing forth Christ-like qualities so that others looking at us will be able to see Jesus in us. And most importantly, my dear friends, when non-believers look at us, are they able to see Jesus in us? Or when they look at us, they say, these people who profess to be believers are really no different from people in the world. Exactly the same. They have the same mental attitude. They have the same kind of moral values. They have the same kind of interests. They have the same kind of lifestyle. They speak the same way, talk the same language, use the same foul language, think the same way. Yes? We are really no different from people in the world. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But friends, when we, because of our poor testimony, we do not behave as people who are not of the world. We behave as if we are very, very much a part of the world. But we must be different from people in the world. If we are true believers in the Lord Jesus, when people want to see Christ, they look at a Christian and say, "Yes, I see Jesus. I see Jesus in that person." Yes. We have been saved to conform. Excuse me. We have been saved to conform to the image of Christ. We must become more and more like Him. The old man in us has been crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's one problem that we have. We don't realize that the old man in us has been crucified with Christ. When we came to trust Jesus, the day we came to trust Jesus, the old man in us was crucified with Jesus. Did you realize that? We must understand this truth. Yes, and then the new man in us must be growing by the day. The new man in us must be renewed day by day, as we read earlier on. We must show that our Savior is alive and that He's living in us. Our disposition, our cheerful appearance, our conduct must necessarily attract people to the Lord. But friends, are they? Are we attracting people to the Lord? One day, as a woman was crossing a junction, a road junction near the London station in England, an old man stopped her, and he said to her, "Excuse me, ma'am, thank you very much." This lady was very, very surprised. "Thank me for what?" And this old man said, "I used to be working in this train station, and every day for years when you pass by, you would give me a smile and you would say good morning to me. You were one of the very, very few people who did that. And one day as you were passing by me, I saw you holding a little Bible in your hand. I said, there must be something special in this woman. Maybe the answer lies in the Bible that she's holding. So I bought a Bible. I read it, and I came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is why I'm here to thank you." Yes, my dear friends, this lady was able to show Jesus to the extent that this man was attracted to read the Bible that she read and came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Friends, let us show the world by the grace of the Lord that we have the Lord, joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Let us show forth the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Let people see this fruit in us so that they may know that we have Jesus in us and may be attracted to Him. Can people see Jesus in us? Next, seeking and finding Him. That's my second point, seeking and finding Him. Those seeking Him sincerely and not merely out of security, not out of curiosity, will find Him. Yes, those seeking Him sincerely and not merely out of curiosity will find Him. Luke chapter 11 verses 9 and 10 say, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. You seek, you find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." If you sincerely ask for salvation, sincerely I mean, ask for salvation, you seek the Lord and you ask for salvation, will he not give you salvation that you ask for? The answer is yes. If you ask for the Lord to give you the gift of His Holy Spirit, will He not give you His Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. All these good gifts, the gifts that the Lord wants to give to us, He will surely give to us when we ask for them. The gift of salvation and the gift of God's mighty Holy Spirit. The truth, my dear friends, the Lord seeks us more than we ever want to seek Him. And the truth is, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no interest in us to seek the Lord. That's the truth. But the Lord is very, very interested in seeking us out, to save us. Now, if we want to, if in our seeking Him, we want to find Him, we must understand and believe this message that the Lord has here for us. Yes, if you seek Him and you really want to find Him, we must understand and believe this message that He has for us in verses 23 and 24. All right, look at John 12, 23, 24. And Jesus answered them. Remember, Andrew, the Greeks came to Philip, one of the Lord's disciples, and then Philip went to Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip came to Jesus, all right, and talked to Jesus. They made known to Jesus that the Greeks, these Greek proselytes wanted to see Him. And the Lord answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So as we said, the Greeks sought Philip, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and Philip then sought Andrew. Now, as a side comment, you know why Philip sought Andrew? Now, the reason why Philip sought Andrew could possibly be this. You see, Philip came from Bethsaida. Now, Andrew and Peter also came from Bethsaida. Now, because they came from the same place, the same town, that could be the reason why Philip sought Andrew. So both of them came and saw the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. The hour is come when the Son of Man should be crucified. He should be crucified, and then he would be glorified." In other words, He could be crucified, He would die, He would be buried, and then on the third day, He would rise up from the dead. And then after that, He was going to be glorified. He was going to ascend to heaven, after that, into glory. The message was that His death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, was the way to spiritual life and to glory. He wanted both His disciples and those Greeks who were seeking Him to know that they were mistaken if they were going to seek for a king that is an earthly king. Yes, they were mistaken if that was the kind of king that they were looking for. No, His kingdom. His kingdom was not going to be inaugurated by a coronation. But His kingdom was going to be inaugurated by what? By His crucifixion. Yes, by His crucifixion. It was going to be set up by His crucifixion. In other words, friends, the cross is the central message of Christianity. The cross is the central message of Christianity. You take up the cross, and there is no longer any message. Today, there are many churches that have put aside the cross of Jesus. They are more interested in social issues. Yes. Social political issues such as, we know, climate change and how boat people or refugees should be treated, and they are more interested in preventing drug addicts from dying of drug overdose. These are the things many churches are interested in today, social political issues. Then today there are the mega churches. What do the mega churches preach? They preach the health and wealth gospel. They promise health and wealth. My dear friends, all these churches have been misled by the evil one, misled by Satan. Their emphasis is not on the cross of Jesus. Yes, the cross on which Jesus shed His precious blood to save us from sin. They miss the whole point. They deny that sin basically is the cause of all human problems. They miss the whole point and fail to realize that the solution to all human problems is in the message of the cross. My dear friends, if you desire to find Christ, you must see Christ. You must see the Christ of the cross as the center of the Christian message. If you don't see Christ, the cross of Christ as the center of the Christian message, you'll never find him. No, you will not. Friends, see that he died on the cross for your sins. To find him, your sins must be cleansed by his precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Now he further says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." The Lord gave a very practical illustration to talk about the need of his death. The seed must die. If the seed remain as a seed, the seed is not very, very useful. It is of little good. The seed has to be put into the ground. The seed has to rot, it has to decay, it has to die in order that it may bear fruit and bring forth a crop. In other words, the death of Christ is the life of the world. He must die so that the world might live. What the Lord was saying was this: If I die, multitudes will be saved. His death was not martyrdom. He didn't just die for a cause, like some great heroes would die for a cause. He didn't die to set us an example of self-denial. No, my dear friends, he died to save the world of sin. That was what he died for. He died to save the world of sin. Do you see this truth, my dear friends? You must see this truth. Yes, the centrality of the cross. He died to save the world of sin. Yes, you must see this truth if you want to find him when you seek him. Now, if you have found him, you are going to lose much, but you are going to gain everything. Look at verse 25. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." And he says the same thing in other Gospels. For example, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 25-26, the Lord says the same thing. He says, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now remember, the Lord was talking to Jews, and he was talking to those Gentiles who had embraced the Jewish beliefs. So there were Jews, one real Jews, while the others were proselyte Jews. And like these religious Jews, yes, these Jews and these proselyte Jews were seeking for temporal rewards and temporal honors in their so-called service unto the Lord. Now, the Lord had to dismiss such thinking. He wanted them to see that his kingdom was entirely spiritual. It was a spiritual kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Now, in serving the Lord, let us be very, very clear in regards to what we are after. What are we after when we serve the Lord? Now, if we think that serving the Lord, yes, by serving him, he will bless us with earthly honors and earthly rewards, my dear friends, we are going to be very mistaken, and can be very, very disillusioned. Now, it is true. If we are faithful in our service unto the Lord, very often he will bless us with earthly honors and earthly rewards. And that's true if we serve him faithfully. But let's understand also that the Lord may choose to withhold this from us for our own good. Because if he were to give this to us, we might be so captivated by them that we would forsake the Lord. So he might withhold all these honors and these rewards from us. But friends, for sure he will bless us with spiritual blessings when we seek him. He will bless us with the joy of the Lord if we seek him. He will bless us with peace that passes all understanding. Let us understand that our honors and our rewards are not temporal. They are eternal rewards. If we are faithful in our service unto him, he is going to reward us someday when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, someday when we appear before him, if we have been faithful, he's going to say to us, as we said many times, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And the greatness of our rewards someday, my dear friends, that we receive from him will be way, way, way beyond what we ever dare imagine or dream. And the word of God says it this way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I read for you, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." God has prepared honors and rewards for us, for those who are faithful unto him. And when we see them, we say, beyond my imagination, beyond my dreams, unheard of, that's what it means, unseen, unheard of, these great things that the Lord has in store for me. Yes, and that's what we are going to have someday, if we are faithful to him. Now, what the Lord is teaching here is that, like him, while we live on this earth, we must make up our minds to sacrifice much for him. Yes, we must be prepared to sacrifice much for him, prepared to lose our life on this earth. So the question is, what have we given up for the Lord? Yes, or what could we give up for the Lord? Or maybe we should ask, what should we give up for the Lord? It could be a very good job that we may have to give up, my dear friends, for the sake of the gospel, for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may be able to serve him better. Yes, or it could be some hobby that we are very, very consumed by that we have to give up. The hobby takes up a lot of our time. Takes up a lot of our time, takes up a lot of our energy. We may have to give up the hobby. Or it could be a sport that we love very, very dearly. It takes up a lot of our time, our energy. We've got to spend lots of time training to play the games and so forth. We may have to give the sport up. Or it could be a girlfriend, a boyfriend. Yes, they could be believers. My dear, could be believers. But then they are not matured in their faith. They are very, very inclined to pull you down in your service unto the Lord. You may have to give them up. Or it could be some friends in the world. We have great company and great fun together, you say, yes? But you know that this company that you are keeping is not edifying you, not building you up in the faith, yes? And then you know also that your intention of keeping company with them, if they are unbelievers, is not so much to win them to the Lord. You just want to keep company with them and want to enjoy yourself. My dear friends, are you willing to give up such company? Sorry for my cough. This is the side effect of some of the drugs that I'm taking. It's causing me to have this dry cough. Now, the word of Lord, of the Lord is very, very clear. Yes, in following him, we find seeking him and finding him, we may lose much. Yes, it means sacrifice on our part. And the word of God is very, very clear. The Lord speaks to the great apostle Paul, who tells us this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, those two very familiar verses. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, that ye may discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The teaching is clear. We are to die to the world. We are to die to self. Die to the world, die to self, in order that we might attain the glory. So the teaching is clear. We are to die to the world, die to self, yes, die to sin, in order that we might attain the glory that is in the world to come. Friends, we must also see the condemnation in what the Lord says. Look at verse 25. All right. He that loveth his life shall lose it. If you love your life on this earth, you will lose it. This refers to those who are thinking of gaining the world without any care at all, any care or concern at all for their souls. They live their lives here on this earth as if this earth is an eternal place and that they are going to be here forever and ever. And they have no care at all, no regard at all for things of eternity, no regard at all for their soul. Their concern is only for earthly comfort, earthly joys, earthly happiness. But often such people are quite deluded. Yes, they think they get what they want, but they are quite deluded. Yes, and when they have arrived and they have thought that they have got what they wanted, they find that they want more. All that they have is not enough. Enough is not enough. They must have more comforts, more happiness, more luxuries, more joys, and so forth. Not enough for them. They are forever chasing, as we say, after that elusive pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, without any care, without any concern for the soul. So you could see an 80-year-old billionaire thinking that he's very, very happy with his billions and the empire that he has built up. But when he's gotten them, he says, it's not enough. I must have more billions. I must build a bigger empire. I'm sure you know whom I'm talking about. 95% of his body is already in the grave, but he's still chasing for more billions, and he's still wanting to build a bigger empire. Now, this chase for his earthly wealth is more important to him than his soul. He loves his earthly life, but in the course of loving his earthly life, he loses his real life, his soul for eternity. But he who loses his life for Christ's sake shall find it. He shall find life. He shall find salvation for his soul. One time, this great saint of the Lord, Sadhu Sundar Singh, he was a believer in the Lord, an Indian, but a great believer in the Lord. And he and a companion were traveling through a pass in the Himalayan mountains. At one point, they came across a body lying in the snow. Sundar Singh wanted to stop to help this man who was lying in the snow. But his companion refused and said, "We shall lose our lives if we burden ourselves with him." But Sundar Singh was not going to leave this man behind. He said, "I will take care of him." And this companion then waved Sundar Singh goodbye, and he went on his own. Alone, he went forward. Yes, Sundar Singh then, with great effort, carried this man onto his back and then dragged him along. And as he dragged him along, the heat from his body transmitted to the body of the man he was carrying. And soon that man revived, and then they were walking side by side. And eventually they caught up with that man who had gone ahead, the companion, former companion of Sundar Singh. And where was he? He was lying in the snow, dead, stiff, dead. He had died. He had gone alone and he had died. Sundar Singh was willing to lose his life on behalf of another. And in the process of doing so, he found life. In the case of this companion who was very unfeeling, he sought to save his own life, but he lost it. Friends, let this be a lesson for us, my dear friends. If we love life on this earth, you might gain the whole world. Yes? Well, what is it going to profit you if you gain the whole world, but you're going to lose your soul? Yes, coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and following Him may result in a life that is not easy. It may result in a road that is not easy. As the song goes, the road that we walk along is not an easy road. It is thorny all the way. Yes, it will be a life of self-denial. As it were, my dear friends, it will be a life in which we will lose our life. But friends, we lose our life, but what will we get? What we get will be eternal life, eternal glory and joy in the Lord. So we started by talking about seeking Christ and seeing Christ. Then we talk about seeking Christ, finding Christ, if we are sincere in seeking Him. Now, we can say that we have really found Him if we understand this truth, that as a wheat of corn must die before it can bear fruit and bring forth a crop, so must the Lord Jesus Christ die for us. And we can say that we have really found Him if we are prepared to live a life of self-denial to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. As it were, if we are prepared to lose our life for His sake. If we are prepared to lose our life for His sake, we'll find Him, we'll find life. Finally, if we say that we have found Him, we must follow Him. Verse 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. If we say that we have found him, we must follow him. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And Luke 9:62 says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Just as Christ looked at the cross, my dear friends, in following him, we must look at the Christ of the cross, and there must be no turning back. Yes, he looked at the cross, he went to the cross. Just as he looked at the cross, we must look at him who is on the cross, and there must be no turning back. Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. We must follow him until we come to the end of our life race on this earth, and be able to say like the great Apostle Paul, who said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The cross, what does the cross mean, my dear friends? What does the cross mean? We are to look at the Christ on the cross, but what does the cross mean? The cross means death. It means suffering. As Christ died for our sins, we are to die to our sins. You are to die to pride, to covetousness, to envy, hatred, murders, fornications, and so forth. We are to reckon ourselves as having been crucified with the Lord. It is true, when we become believers in the Lord, we become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true. But friends, let us also realize that we must be prepared to suffer with Him. True. That's our reward. We become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us, as believers, also be prepared to suffer with Him. So the question is, have we ever suffered for the Lord? We say we are looking at the cross. But friends, have we ever suffered for the Lord? Have we ever been laughed at, ridiculed, maybe despised because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or maybe even lose a promotion opportunity because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we ever experienced such sufferings? If we ever suffer for the Lord, let us thank Him, for it shows that we are following Him. If we ever suffer for Him, yes, thank Him, because it shows that we are following Him. Now, finding Him and following Him, yes, it's not without the reward. We have our rewards. Look at verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Yes, if we serve Him, He tells us this, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If we follow him, my dear friends, we will be where the Lord is. We will go to him when we pass away from this earth. It is a certainty, my dear friends, that we will be with him. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yes. we will not have our honors today. Today we might not hear people say to us, oh, how good this man is, how kind he is, what a fine Christian he is, how sacrificial he is, how loving he is, how merciful he is, how faithful he is. We don't hear such words of honor heap on us. But friends, one day we'll hear them. And we'll hear them from the very mouth of our Lord. Yes, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ. So my dear friends, would you see Jesus? Do you have this desire to see him? Now if you desire to see him, the place to see him is his word. See him in his word. Read his word. Meditate on his word and you will see him. And if we have trusted in him and are longing to see him, we will surely see him someday. If we have trusted him, we'll see him someday and we'll see him face to face and we shall be like him. But now, if anyone wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ, is he able to see Jesus in us? Now, is he able to see Jesus in us? If we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ must be seen in us. Then if we are sincere in seeking him, we will find him. If we indeed want to find him, we must understand and believe this truth. Yes, as the seed must die before it bears fruit and brings forth a crop, so must Christ die for our sins. We must believe this truth, my dear friends, if we are seeking him and we want to find him. And we must believe that Christ died so that we might live. We must believe that he died for me. He died for me so that I might live. Yes, if we are seeking him and are wanting to find him. And if we indeed have found him, we must apply this truth to our life. And what's the truth that we must apply to our life? The truth is this: he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall find it, shall keep it unto eternal life. It is true, my dear friends, we do not work for our salvation. But it is true that if we really have salvation, we will realize living a true Christian life involves much sacrifice. We realize this truth. Yes, it involves dying to self. It involves dying to sin. It involves dying to this world. It involves sacrifice. If we are true believers in him, we have not found him. Understand this truth. We have not found him. If we love this life on this earth to the extent that we have no concern, no regard at all for our soul, no regard for whatsoever for eternity. Watch it, my dear friends, if you have no regard for your soul, no concern at all for eternity, you really have not found him. Jesus is not your Savior. Understand this truth. And if we have found him, we must necessarily follow him. And there must be no turning back. If we are following him, there must be no turning back. A day will come, my dear friends, if we are faithful in following him, that he will honor us and he will reward us. And he will definitely say to us, if we are faithful in following him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that your word may speak to us this morning. Help us, O Lord God, to seek you sincerely, because we know that if we do so, if we sought you sincerely, we will surely find you. And Father, we pray that we may realize that if we have truly sought you and found you, yes, we may lose much on this earth, but we will gain everything. Yes, help us to understand that following you involves sacrifice. Help us that we may be willing to present ourselves as living sacrifices for you to make use of. And Lord, we pray for those who think that they have been following you, but who have no interest at all in reading your word, who have no concern at all for their souls, no concern for all at all for eternity. Help them to realize that they might still be outside you, that they really have not found you yet. Father, we pray that you speak to such folks today if they are in this state. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll be very merciful. Bless all of us. Teach us to delight in you, to follow you closely until we see the Lord Jesus face to face. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.